Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Friday, September 18th, and it's time to get you ready for the upcoming Steelers game this Sunday with the Denver Broncos at Heinz Field at 1 o'clock. But joining me is a special guest, a friend of mine from WPXI Channel 11 here in Pittsburgh. It's Jenna Harner, sports reporter from WPXI. Jenna's going to go over with me the latest Steelers news from the week, who's healthy, who's not, what's the update on the Alejandro Villanueva situation before in our first segment. Then in our second segment, we're going to pick every single NFL Sunday and Monday game sans the Steelers. For our third segment, we're going to give our prediction for the Steelers, who's going to be good, what the matchups are, and all the details you'll need as your Steelers fan. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of the 1% of the 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. I can tell you, it got me ready for game night when the Steelers took down the Giants and I was sipping on a sweet Pepsi when Ben Roethlisberger threw three touchdown passes. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, it's Friday. We made it to the end of the week. I'm excited. I know you're excited. We just watched some Thursday night football. Now, I give you a new guest, a friend of mine, a person that I've worked with quite a lot over the past couple months. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you to the show, Jenna Harner of WPXI. She's a sports reporter. I've been doing skylights with her. She's been on the case here in Pittsburgh. You got here, I think, in March. I think that is.
That was when it was. It was the height of the pandemic. I joke with everybody, move to a new city, take a sports job during a global pandemic when there are no sports. I could not recommend it highly enough.
It was certainly a transition, but Jenna has quickly been making her place here in Pittsburgh. First of all, Jenna, thanks for coming on the show. Welcome to the program. I was wondering, how are you doing with this week? How are you feeling after 1 week of football, getting ready for week two?
It feels so good. Football is back. It was very weird because, I don't know, I feel like it did sneak up on us a little bit, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, it's week one. And I think with the Steelers playing on Monday night, it didn't entirely feel real yet, and now we're in it. We're in that sense. I'm like, oh, no, it's here. We are in the midst of football season. There's all the storylines, and I'm so happy it's back. I'm so happy it's back.
Yeah, same here. And you're starting to feel that flow, because even when it was training camp, it was kind of like, this isn't right. But having games on Thursday, Sunday, Monday, and then getting to the flow and like, okay, Tomlin's press conference, and then there's this, and then there's that, and then okay, now we're ready to go. There's some normalcy, and it's wonderful to have this year.
Yeah, we're getting back into that routine, into that flow of things where it's like, okay, this is how things work on Tuesday now. Like Tomlin Tuesdays, Ben talks on Wednesday. We're getting into that rhythm of, oh, this is regular season life, because we didn't have the off season. And then obviously with training camp being so different and being so strange, it was, we're sitting in limbo for a little bit now. Finally, it's here.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get to some news and notes on the Steelers. First and foremost, the injury report. All the players, I talked about this earlier in the week, but all the players, first of all, on Wednesday's practice, there was a litany of players like James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson. They were all sitting out. Stephon Tuitt, all of them were out, and it was a big worry. But today, or yesterday, on Thursday's practice, there was all of them, but Stephon Wisniewski and David DeCastro practiced in full. The Steelers look like they're ready to go again. Even James Conner came back from his ankle injury. Jenna, wanted to get your take. What do you see, first of all, just out of all these players kind of taking off a day and then coming back on a Thursday? And how do you think that, with your look on how the Steelers are doing, it's going to look with their number one right guard out and now their number two right guard looking like he also might be out?
I know there was kind of a lot of panic on Wednesday when that came out, and it was like you said, Juju's on the list, James Conner's on the list, Deontay's on the list. Everyone's like, it's like, remember, they played on Monday. They were off on Tuesday, and this is the first game of the season, I think. Or this is, the first – going into week two after the first week of the season. So obviously guys are going to be a little bruised up, a little banged up. We knew that was kind of going to happen. But I think the offensive line, I think that is going to be their biggest, I don't want to say a big worry, but I know a lot of people are, you know, a little bit worried about the fact that with Wisniewski hurt, now all of a sudden it's okay. Oh, there's that little bit of a weak spot. I think we saw a lot of good things from the offensive line too. And again, you're going to still see a lot more adjustments. This is only week two. And again, we forget that these guys really didn't have the full off season that they wanted to. So I think it's a little bit of a nerve-wracking point for me, but also at the same time, nothing to panic about, nothing to worry about. I know that Wisniewski, I think if I'm pretty correct, at least at the latest up-to-date things, that we're going to potentially see him. It's day-to-day still. I believe that's correct. I want to make sure I was up in the latest there, but I believe it is day-to-day. So, you know, it's a little bit, it's nothing to panic about. It's nothing to worry about. It's not, you know, season ending. It's not detrimental. But, you know, it is going to be a little bit of a soft spot in the Steelers offensive line. The good thing is, though, they're playing the Broncos team, who I know a lot of people are breathing a bit of a sigh of relief that they don't have Von Miller, which also, you know, so sad to see what happened to him and to see, you know, how he was injured and things like that. But at the same time, I feel like a lot of Steelers fans are breathing a bit of a sigh of relief that they don't have to worry about Von Miller and his incredible, ridiculous pass rushing abilities this week.
Agreed. Von Miller, and also now AJ Bouye, a starting cornerback for them, was put on injured reserve for at least 3 weeks. I believe this was on Wednesday. It was announced by Vic Fangio. So the Broncos down two of their biggest names on defense, but they still have Justin Simmons. They still have Kareem Jackson, Bradley Chubb, and a few other guys. We'll get into those matchups in the last segment. But before we end our news and notes segment, we got to update the Villanueva story. Now, 2 days ago before we did a Broncos crossover podcast yesterday, Jenna, so that was a lot of fun. We talked to the Locked On Broncos guy, Cordy Worth. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. He sounds just like Adam Schefter. It's crazy. It's hilarious. And we talked about it afterward. He's going to try. He wants to do a show with Schefter, so that it just sounds like it's Schefter arguing with himself.
Yes, you too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, as I mentioned, you know, with we talked about the Villanueva story, he wore Alvin Cash's name on the back of his helmet, covering over Antoine Rose's name. The fallout from that, people talking about it. Mike Tomlin said it was approved, or whether that Villanueva spoke to him about it before the game. However, what I wasn't able to talk about as much yesterday because we did the Broncos episode was that both Cam Hayward and Ben Roethlisberger came out and said that they had no idea that Villanueva was taking that action, which was very interesting. And then yesterday morning on Wednesday, Marquise Pouncey came out on Instagram and said that he didn't know all the story of Antoine Rose, and that from now on he will decide who goes on the back of his helmet by himself and not just go with the team. And then on top of that, Minkah Fitzpatrick comes out and says that the Steelers Steelers' decision came from higher up, and he didn't specify what higher up meant, which, you know, caused a lot of concern, because it was odd when you go back and you read the actual Steelers piece, Jenna, that they released before that, saying that we have decided to honor Antoine Rose as the name on our helmets. They said the team, this was a team decision. The players and the coaches have come together to make this decision. So a little bit of difference. And in that piece, Cam Hayward says, we decided this. So a lot of confusion here. What's your take after just seeing all the fanfare this week?
It's been a week. It definitely has been a week. And I think the hardest part about this for me is the fact that, you know, the NFL had said coming into this season with all of their social justice initiatives that teams could make the decision, players could make the decision about what they wanted to put on their helmets. So if you wanted it to be a situation like that, even if the Steelers wanted to do something together, which they very well could have, and, you know, obviously we saw that they attempted to do, you could have said, you know, hey, we're going to do this as a team. If you don't feel comfortable with this, you are more than welcome to put whoever you want, honor whoever you want, remember whoever you want on your helmet. Just give us a little bit of a heads up about it. I think that's the hardest part for a lot of people with the Villanueva thing, because obviously no one's going to get mad at him for honoring a war hero. No one's going to look at that and be like, oh, well, you know, everyone overreacts to everything. So, of course, there's going to be adverse reactions no matter what.
There's going to be a crazy response somewhere, but not within his locker room and not with the people that matter in this situation.
No, and I think if, you know, he really had a big issue with it and he came to talk to Cam, talk to Ben and say, hey, look, you know, I'm not feeling like this way. I don't want to put Antoine Rose's name on the back of my helmet. I want to put Alan Cash on my helmet. I'm sure it probably would have gone over a lot better than how it's going over now. And then I think obviously with Pouncey coming out and saying what he said where, you know, oh, I didn't read into this as much. If your team is doing something, and again, maybe this is just me, maybe this is just the take I have. If your team is doing something and you don't entirely know the situation, I mean, we have our phones in our hands all the time. We have access to computers. We have access to all these things. Pull things up, do a quick Google search, and, you know, read. Educate yourself a little bit more. I think that's something that we can all learn from in the broader scope of things. I think that's something everybody can do. And to say that the team was going to do something all together and then to have it kind of say, oh, you know, maybe it was somebody higher up, maybe it wasn't an entire team decision. It's just, I feel like they're backtracking on a lot of things, which is really tough. But I think also at the same time, if you wanted to do something unified, you could have done it. Or, you know, you could have said, hey, we're going to do this. Majority of people wanted this, but also feel free to make your own decisions. That was, I feel like I've seen a lot of teams. I know the Buffalo Bills were all, you know, choosing different phrases, choosing different words, choosing different people. And again, we have to go back to the whole idea behind this. It's, you know, to talk, to get the conversations going, to talk about social injustice, to talk about what can be done. It takes all of us, those types of things. And I mean, the conversations, I feel like, are going in a wrong direction because of all that's happened over the last couple of days here with all of the backlash from all of this.
Yeah, I agree with that. And another to your, another adding to your point here, you talk about Alejandro Villanueva, if he had just let his teammates know, and if he had also just let the Steelers know, like, hey, what about this? And instead of taping over Antoine Rose's name, they just would have had an insert for Alwin Cash. And because here's the thing, Jenna, even beyond if how you feel about replacing the name, no one would have noticed the text. That it was, what made it really noticeable was this giant piece of tape and obviously Sharpie that made it exactly. And I'm looking at that and it's like it comes off a little tacky. And, you know, Antoine Rose's mother, Michelle Kearney, she kind of just said, you know, like, hey, like that's up to him and the team to talk about. Obviously he didn't like the vote. And that's for him to decide. And he showed what his beliefs are and who he is. Which I didn't take it as an attack. It was just like her, like, okay, well, you want to do that? That's fine. I was told by the head coach that all of you decided to do this or the team voted on this. So you're right. There's a lot of backtracking. I think that the Steelers they're trying to cut off every sense of, hey, we are focusing on football. Like, they just won their opening game. Ben Roethlisberger just came back and after a year of an entire 365 days of no playing, he threw 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. And the entire discussion this week for a lot of people with the Steelers has been this story. So I get why they might be trying to say, okay, let's see how we can stop the fire from spreading.
Yeah. And I think it's also just, again, these are conversations that need to be had. They're, you know, we've made it to this point in 2020 where I feel like there's such a roadblock with so many types of issues where, again, Villanueva goes in and sits down and has this conversation with his team, with his, you know, with the captains, with whoever, and says, hey, look, this isn't entirely, I don't want to do this. I want to do this instead. You have these conversations and all of a sudden, you know, like you said, we're probably not even noticing it looks different because it's still the same font. It's still, you know, all that, unless you're zooming in really close and you're zooming in really close and seeing a new name. You're probably not noticing as much as we did notice it. And again, it takes the conversation away from, you know, we're Thursday, game day is 3 days away, or Friday now, you know, game day is a couple days away here. And all of a sudden, you know, the conversation still hasn't really entirely been, hey, we're preparing for the Broncos. Let's talk about Denver.
Absolutely. Great points, Jenna. Before we go to our first break, we got to tell you about our great sponsor here on the show, Visa. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local business have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going the extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, and the official partner of the NFL. We'll be right back after this. We're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joining my friend Jenna Harner from WPXI. Now, Jenna, it's time to put in some weekly picks. We've got a huge slate of Sunday games. We're going to talk some Monday Night Football with the Saints and the Raiders. First, we're gonna lead off with an AFC South matchup of two 1-0 teams. It was a team that went far in the playoffs last year against a team that everyone expected to tank. That's the Jaguars at the Titans. They're both 1-0. The Jaguars coming off a huge upset over the Indianapolis Colts. Who do you have winning this game and why?
This is a tough matchup for me, and I feel like I have to go Jacksonville. I feel like everything this year, I'm just trusting my gut on picks. Gardner Minshew looked good. And I don't know how to feel about that. Gardner Minshew, we saw some good things from him. These are obviously two very good teams. And, I mean, Monday night's game in itself was just something. The Titans should have won that game, and it should have been won long before kick in the fourth quarter. It should have, you know, and terrible clock management by Denver. Lots of different things could have happened in that game. But I don't know. The Jags are kind of surprising people this year. I'm going with that as an odd pick for it.
Wow, so Jenna Harner has the Jazz going 0-2. I'm sticking with the Titans. They're at home. It was a tough week one win, but they still got Derrick Henry, and I feel like if push comes to shove, they can just go to their ground game, and I'm not so confident in the Jaguars stopping that, but that's interesting. So we already got one difference on the first pick of the show. That usually takes forever to get to. All right, moving on to an NFC South matchup, 0-1 Panthers at the 0-1 Buccaneers. Panthers. McCaffrey did well last week. They put up a fight but weren't able to overcome the Raiders late. The Buccaneers put up a fight early against the Saints but then fell apart. Is this the week that Tom Brady gets his first win as a quarterback in the NFC?
I think it is, because you usually don't see multiple bad games in a row from Tom Brady. You just don't. And I think it was so interesting to kind of see all of the reaction that came after that game with what Bruce Arians was saying, kind of blaming Tom for those two interceptions and then kind of backtracking a little bit and saying, oh, well, it was Mike Evans' fault. So, I think Brady's still learning that offense. They didn't have that full offseason that he probably wanted to. I think we see Tom Brady get their first win this week. Bucks over the Jags. Or no, not the Jags. Excuse me.
Panthers.
Bucks over the Panthers. Thinking.
No, you're fine. They're two cats. Same thing. And they were found in the 90s. But I agree with you. I have the Buccaneers winning this game. Weird stat, though. Tom Brady has lost three games in a row now. You think he lost the season finale against the Dolphins, the playoff game against the Titans, and now the opening game against the Saints. I don't think that's happened in the past 20 years.
No, and that is nuts.
And on top of that, Jenna, in each of those games, he's thrown a pick six.
So if he throws a pick six, we may not see a win for the Bucs and Brady's first win as a Buc.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, who knows?
And just, we'll see how that goes. Moving right along, we've got the LA Rams at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Rams had a huge win against Dallas, taking out the team that I have to win the NFC East. But the Eagles suffered a huge upset at the hands of the Washington football team. I'm still not used to saying that in rapid succession, Washington football team. But Rams at Eagles. I'm going with the Rams because my man's Aaron Donald is coming to town, and the Eagles' offensive line looks like they're in a lot of trouble.
My goodness. What, Carson Wentz got sacked 8 times against Washington, if I believe?
Yeah.
Especially the way Aaron Donald blew through that Dallas line. There was a video on Twitter of him, like a human bowling ball, just taking like 3 guys out. It is beautiful what LA does, and I think their offense is really clicking again. We're going to see a lot of teams kind of put things together and make things a little bit more complete in week 2 as kind of things go here. I'm with you on that. I think the Rams beat the Eagles. Good luck, Carson Wentz.
It's just so rough. You see that guy get hurt so much, and now you're like, man, now that guy's coming to town, Aaron Donald, on you. So a lot of pressure there. And also, watch out for Malcolm Brown at the running back position. Jen and I do a show, Fantasy Football Insider, for WPXI Now, the app there. So we've been talking fantasy football. It was me and Albie this week, but I think Jen and I will be back on very soon doing that. All right, moving on to our next pick. This one, to me, if I had a survivor pick to make this week, this would be it. Niners at the Jets. There's no way in hell I'm picking the Jets. I'm going with the Niners.
Nope. Just the Jets are not a good football team. They are not a good football team, especially now that Le'Veon Bell is hurt.
Yeah.
It is just – to see what the Bills were able to do against them this past weekend as someone that covered the Bills for the last 2 years, mm-hmm. not only did the Bills look good, the Jets just looked – they just, they need a lot of work. They need a lot of help. And this is something, too. You're going to see the 49ers bounce back after that Cardinals loss. And I think this is the perfect team for them to do it against.
I agree. This is a great opportunity, though. It is weird to say that about a West Coast team going to the East Coast. Normally, that's a huge no-no. But I think that the difference in these teams makes up. Now, you mentioned you covered the Bills for 2 years. Let's talk about that Bills game. Bills at the Dolphins. Bills 1-0. Dolphins 0-1. They lost to Cam Newton and the Patriots. Who you got winning this game? You going with your squad?
I got to go the Bills on this one. I think, and I know everyone wants to look at Josh Allen and criticize Josh Allen. If you look at the game that he played this past weekend and you look at what he did in his first year and obviously the majority of last year when he played his second year, it is night and day. They have a lot more offensive weapons. Obviously, Stephon Diggs, they're going to get him going even more. I think he had, what, 8 catches for 84 yards, something mm-hmm. along those lines. Mm-hmm. I think this Bills team, we're going to kind of see them get more and more complete. Surprisingly, the Dolphins aren't horrible. I feel like we had always put them in a conversation. Like, yeah. Oh, it's Miami. They're not ridiculous. They're not Jets level by any means, but I just don't think – I think they're kind of just that, like, middle-of-the-road mediocre enough. I think the Bills should win this game.
I got you there. I'm with you on that. The one I am interested to see how Stephon Diggs and John Brown as receivers on the outside go up against Byron Jones and Xavier Howard. I have two, those are two of my favorite cornerbacks to evaluate in the NFL. I think that could be a great battle and a great reason to watch that. Except you're watching the Steelers game, so you're not watching the Bills game.
No.
but all right, moving on. We got about a few more 1 o'clock games here. Vikings at Colts. Two teams that lost some tough games early on. I have a hard time here. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I'm going to go with the Vikings still because Philip Rivers, he makes me feel uneasy.
Philip Rivers is always down one score in the fourth quarter. That is just, that's always what it is. I feel like you see that all the time. I think it'll be closer than people think. I think both of these teams are a decent matchup for one another. But I think the Vikings come out on top, especially. I mean, again, I feel like they had a lot of expectations for them this season. And obviously, again, week one, you never know entirely what can happen. But this team is still kind of forming that identity. I think we're going to see a lot more from them getting their offense going. And again, it's, you know, Philip Rivers is going to be Philip Rivers wherever he goes, apparently. So it's going to be closer than we think. I think it'll probably be either, you know, a 3 or a 7-point win for Minnesota.
Agreed there. Let's go to the NFC North for a battle. Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers. Matt Stafford suffered a huge comeback loss to Mitch Trubisky last week. Aaron Rodgers looked like he was a man on fire. He lit up the Vikings defense. I think he's going to do it to the Lions. They're at home in Green Bay. I got the Packers winning.
I got the Packers winning too. And you feel terrible for DeAndre Swift dropping that potential game-winning pass. Like, oh, poor kid. I think we're going to see an increase in his game for sure this coming week. But I just think what Aaron Rodgers was able to do last week, he lit up Minnesota's secondary. It was a thing of beauty. I think we're just going to kind of continue to see that for them. Because, again, he knew that this was going to be a season where he was going to be like, you sure you wanted to draft a quarterback here? He's out to prove something, and I think he's already doing that.
Absolutely. Next game, the Falcons at the Cowboys. Both teams 0-1. Matt Ryan versus Dak Prescott. They're in Dallas for a 1 o'clock game, which sounds as weird because I always feel like Dallas plays their home games at 4. But whatever, I'm picking them to win this game. I think they got the more complete team, even though they suffered some injuries on defense this week.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys do have a more complete team. And I think, obviously, with that pass interference call right at the end, debatable, you know, I did not think it was pass interference, but obviously, you look at the refs, and clearly they have a job doing what they do. I think that game with the Rams was a lot closer, and it was a lot more of what we're going to see from Dallas. Obviously, they lost Leighton Vander Esch, and I'm trying to remember who the other guy that they lost. So they do have some key absences. But I think that defense or that offense is going to continue to get going. We saw Zeke do what we know Zeke can do. Yep. I think this offense is going to find some success this week.
Agreed there. Giants at Bears. Giants, of course, lost to the Steelers. Bears with the comeback win over the Lions. I'm a little mixed here because I don't trust either team really that much. But you know, I look at defenses, and I think the Bears, they're at home. I think this might be a game that they can win.
I think so too. You know, the Giants are still figuring things out. I think we saw a lot of new things from their offense that we haven't seen. Obviously, that's what's going to happen with the new coaching staff. Daniel Jones, I'm convinced it's Eli Manning 2.0 just because of the fact that he does things where you're like, oh, my God, that's really beautiful. And then, again, the end of that drive, that 19-play drive, he throws the duck. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, there's Daniel Jones. So I think you're still going to see a lot of that Giants team trying to figure out exactly who they are. I think this should be a game. It'll be closer than people think, but I think Chicago wins this one.
With you there. Washington football team at the Arizona Cardinals. Both teams 1-0. I like Kyler Murray and D-Hop. I don't think that I don't think Washington's going to be able to keep up with that. But they're at home. This is going to be an East Coast team going to the West Coast. It's got Dwayne Haskins. I think that's too much. I'm going to take Murray, the better quarterback in this situation. What say you?
I think so too. Did we ever think that the Washington football team was going to be atop the NFC East at any point this season? Yes, it is just week one, but I would not have said that.
Right.
But I think that Arizona is going to kind of continue to impress a lot of people. I will say, though, keep an eye on Chase Young for Washington. Obviously, he is so fantastic at doing what he does, at just being so disruptive. But I think we see kind of that continued growth from Kyler Murray that a lot of people expected to see. And, I mean, look at what they did to the defense that made it to the Super Bowl last year. Look at what they did. Obviously, again, different year, some different pieces, but they were able to do that against San Francisco in week one. I think this Cardinals team might surprise some people this season.
I'm right with you there. AFC West showdown, Chiefs at the Chargers. This is an old school rivalry for that division, but I got Patrick Mahomes. He's coming to town against Tyrod Taylor. The Chargers barely eked it out against the Bengals. I think they're in a lot of trouble if they don't flip on some magic switch against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, this one is another one where you look at it, you're like, okay, this one should be Kansas City. It has all the makings to be Kansas City. Joe Burrow almost beat the Chargers last week. And again, we're seeing a lot of good things from him, but, only time will tell there. But I think that this should be an easy win for Kansas City.
Finishing out the 4 o'clock games, Ravens at Texans. Texans suffered a loss against the Chiefs. They're 0-1, but they got Deshaun Watson. Ravens, of course, got Lamar Jackson, blew out the Browns at week one. I'm going to stick with the Ravens here. I think that they're the more complete team. But I look at the way Deshaun Watson was able to fight in that game against a team that he was completely overmatched in the Chiefs. And I think this could be a bigger game than some people are giving it credit for. But do you think this is a close game, and who do you have winning?
I think this is going to be a closer game than a lot of people expect. This is one of the ones I'm excited to hopefully catch like the tail end of this week after the Steelers game, because it is going to be ideally an offensive firehouse between both teams, an offensive powerhouse. Baltimore looks really good. They look scary good. Yes, they were playing the Browns in week one, but again, they seem very complete. Lamar Jackson seems as good as he was coming in from last year, if not even just a level better, which is outrageous to say considering it's Lamar Jackson, but he was able to do what he was able to do. I think the Ravens win this one. It's closer than people expect, and it should be one of the best games, I think, to watch this weekend.
I'm right with you there. It is one of my games of the week to watch. Sunday Night Football, Patriots at Seahawks. And when I say Patriots, I still don't see Cam Newton's face as I say that team. But he's going to face off against Russell Wilson. I think this is a really interesting matchup. Again, East Coast to West Coast. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson, though. That guy's worked way too much magic in his time. He had a phenomenal week one game against the Falcons. Also, that's something that we said it was going to blow up fantasy-wise, was that game on the Fantasy Insider show for Channel 11. But I got Russell Wilson. What say you? You're a Bills person. You've seen the Patriots over the years, and now you're seeing Cam Newton play. Do you think that that's enough to put them over the top?
I think this should be a game that Seattle wins. Again, this is probably one that people are going to think shouldn't be as close, but I think it is going to be closer than people expect. But the Seahawks let Russ cook last week, and he was able to do what I feel like we saw almost, I don't want to say entirely vintage Russell Wilson, but we saw a lot of what he's been doing so well and what his game we know can be. I think the Patriots defense is a little bit of a weak spot considering all the guys that they did have opt out. It's nowhere near the defense they had last year. This should be I like Seattle in this one. I really do.
All right. Monday Night Football. Last game before we get to the Steelers game after the break. Saints at Raiders. Both teams 1-0. Saints, I feel like they're the team of the NFC. I just don't believe in anything John Gruden selling me, knock on wood, whatever you want to call it. I just see them as the much better team. What say you?
I think the Saints take this one too. I do like, I'm spacing out on names. Is it Josh Jacobs, the Raiders running back?
Josh Jacobs, yes. He's a beast.
Had him in fantasy last week. He was an absolute beast. He lit it up. I think that's going to be something that they can use to their advantage. But I think the Saints showed why they were the Saints. Everyone looked last week to the Saints and the Bucks as that key matchup. Everyone's saying, you know, that's going to be the NFC South this year, yada, yada, yada. The Saints came out and proved it, and I think they're going to continue to do that as we go along.
All right. We're going to cut to a quick break here. After the break, we're going to talk about the Steelers and the Broncos, break that down. But before we do, got to talk to you guys about our great sponsor, and that's NFL Game Pass. This season, get your football on time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays, and you get to see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, and all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place where you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. We back right after this. And we're back. It's the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter here with Jenna Hunter of WPXI. Jenna, we just picked a whole slate of games, but of course we skipped the most important one. Steelers hosting the Broncos. First game at Heinz Field in this year, 2020. All the craziness that is happening here. But we've made it to this point. Now, Jenna, this is going to be an interesting game. I talked with Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos for yesterday's podcast. He and I both picked the Steelers to win. Before we get to your prediction, I wanted to get your thoughts on a few things here about the team and your evaluation. Looks like Courtland Sutton, the team's number one receiver, might not be able to go. Looks like Drew Lonk's going to have to work with Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler as his top receiving options. Melvin Gordon had a big fumble last week that was costly in that game. But he's got Noah Fant, who was a first-round draft pick from a year ago from the Steelers pick that they traded to the Broncos. And they got a young rookie center in Lloyd Cushenberry III making his second start in the NFL. Where do you see is the most threatening part of this Broncos offense?
That's kind of tough for me because I think they're still young. I mean, obviously you have Drew Lock, you have Jerry Jeudy, you have Noah Fant. These guys are still figuring it out, being as young as they are. But at the same time, that kind of lets them – you kind of saw Drew Lock play decently freely, I thought, Monday night. We kind of saw him, you know, clock management being what it is at the end there, that whole thing. That was a very winnable game for them. I think they were in it a lot longer than a lot of people expected them to be. I think that, obviously, Denver's defense is and has been always what it is. But I think at the same time, too, this offense has a lot of potential. And if they can get clicking, I think that's going to be something that the Steelers are definitely going to have to respond to, especially if we see Drew Lock air it out, which we know he can do. Again, that young quarterback style. But again, if they start clicking, I think that they're going to be a really interesting team to kind of see how they develop. But at the same time, the Steelers defense is what the Steelers defense is and proved that on Monday night.
See, that's the thing. I asked you about the Broncos offense, but now let's talk about the matchups. You're talking about Jerry Jeudy and potentially K.J. Hamler against Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson. Minkah Fitzpatrick going to be floating back there. One thing that I talked about on the show this week was that we saw three sacks from the Steelers, and that's a good number to have, but they also talked about how they were keying off on the run. This wasn't the pass rush that we're normally used to seeing. When you're defensive front and you're stopping the run, you're doing different moves, different techniques. Those techniques are meant to hold the offensive lineman up, maintain the gaps, instead of making a move that rips through the offensive line and chases after the quarterback. That was because of Saquon Barkley. Melvin Gordon ate that. I think that the Steelers are going to be coming for the Broncos and Drew Lock, and especially with Lloyd Cushenberry III, the rookie center, and Garrett Bowles, their starting left tackle. He's questionable right now for the game. If I'm the Steelers, I might pin these guys' ear back and say, go get these guys.
Yeah, we're going to see some different looks for sure again because of the fact that the Broncos do not have Saquon Barkley, which we saw the Steelers stop ridiculously effectively. This defense is this defense for a reason, and I think we're going to see a lot of solid things there. I'm excited about those matchups.
Same here. Let's switch to the other side of the ball real quick as we go over some more matchups. Now, the Broncos front, it may be without Von Miller, and that's a huge loss, but they still have the young player, Bradley Chubb. I think he's been looking decent. Josie Jewell, a linebacker that a lot of us talked about draft-wise coming out of Iowa. I think he's done really well at inside linebacker. And on that defensive line, you got Jarrell Casey as one of your interior guys. An interesting group of guys up front. But without Von Miller, like you said, he's the X factor that's gotten things going for them. I'm interested to see how they kind of move forward without him. I just want to know, do you see this as a chance for them to try and take advantage of a Steelers offensive line? We were just talking about they're hurt, but there's no reason to panic as far as who they have available.
Yeah, I don't think there's reason to panic at all. But at the same time, you know, we are going to see guys need to step up, especially depending on what happens as the week kind of progresses leading up to game day, depending on if Wisniewski can go, if he's not going to be able to go. I think that was like the biggest question for me on the Steelers as a whole this year is if their offensive line can stay healthy, what are we going to see out of them? But at the same time, we saw a lot of good things from Ben Roethlisberger, and the game that he had Monday night, I think we're just going to see even more from him, especially being back at Heinz Field. For him, it's been so long. He's been so excited to get back onto this field. I think there's going to be a lot that we're talking about next week with just how solid a performance he had. But again, Denver's defense is something to kind of, you know, keep an eye on here, especially with the fact that we don't entirely know what's going to happen with the DeCastro-Wisniewski situation as kind of the week progresses.
Now, before we get to our official score predictions, the secondary is an interesting point for the Broncos as well. Like I said, you got A.J. Bouye. He's on injured reserve. Their starting corners are Devontae Harris, Bryce Callahan. The team's strength in the secondary is, of course, Justin Simmons, who's playing on a franchise tag, and Kareem Jackson. I see this as a chance for the Broncos to try and limit the Steelers' tight ends, but I look at those cornerbacks, and I just think that Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool and James Washington, all four of those guys made some highlight plays against the Giants. I see this as a chance for them to do so again in this game and a real strong place for Ben Roethlisberger to attack.
And this can be a game, too, where we see a lot of, like, the distribution of the wealth here. Obviously, Juju with 2 scores, James Washington with his fantastic play. Chase Claypool, I'm still not over that catch. That was a thing of beauty. We're going to kind of see more growth from him. But this can also be, especially for Claypool, this can be kind of that confidence builder game. Obviously, he doesn't need to build confidence by any means. But for a rookie to have a type of game like this where you can get a lot of solid catches, really kind of favor those matchups in the secondary, have those one-on-one battles, and win those battles, which we saw him do throughout camp, I think this might be a big game for Claypool.
I think it could very well be. We'll be interested to see how many targets he gets in this game. I'm interested in all that. So, okay, we've talked about this. Offense, defense, matchups. Let me get your score prediction. Who wins? What's the final score? And give me your play on how this is going to work out.
All right, doing some math in my head here. I think it's going to be 28-17 Steelers. The 17 from Denver comes from like a late garbage time touchdown. It's going to, you know, Steelers should be in control of this game pretty much throughout. Obviously, the questions on the offensive line are going to be something that may potentially be a little bit of a hitch for them. But I think, again, they're capable. We know what that offensive line is going to be able to do. And I think Ben kind of comes back to Heinz Field, kind of explodes. I think we see a lot more from Juju this week as well. This was something, again, coming into the season. He said, I want to have more fun. He wants to have a bounce back year. He's one touchdown away from matching his season total from last year. So I think we're going to see a lot more from him. But James Washington is also, you and I talked about him on our fantasy show, but he has been somebody that just looks so good. We saw all that strength that he got in the off season when he told us he bought a farm and then worked on the farm, and we saw that farm strength as he was plowing into the end zone last week. Oh, it was beautiful. So I think we see a lot from them. And depending on James Conner's situation, I think we see a lot more from Benny Snell. That was a great game from him last week, his first 100-yard performance. I think we see kind of him continue to build here. And you can, he's matured in a sense. We've seen that maturity jump that players like to see, or that and coaches like to see, from that first year to that second year. So I think we see some solid workings from him as well.
I see you there. I'm going to go with a similar score. I'm going to go 31-13. I think the Steelers put up some touchdowns, get a field goal. And I think, going into the end of the second quarter, you're going to be in a similar situation where, the Broncos are going to be hanging around, but then you're going to see the Steelers start to click a little bit. If they get the ball towards the end of the second quarter, you're going to see Ben Roethlisberger just kind of let loose. And then you're going to start to see in the second half the Broncos go into a more of a panic mode. Or not a panic mode, but they'll go into a pass-happy mode. And that's what allows the Steelers to get their sacks up. You're going to see T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree teeing off. And I think you see both of them get their first sacks in this game. I'm going to go Steelers 31. I said 13. So that makes it. So I think you said 21-10. I have 31-13. We'll see who's closer there. And that might be our tiebreaker because since we only picked one game. Well, no, we only picked one game. So there is no tiebreaker. It's just whoever wins that first game is going to determine it.
Love that. Love that. Go Jags, I guess. Gardner Minshew. I don't know. I'm excited to see what Minshew can do, but I'm also really excited to see Ben being back on his home field after being away for so long and just kind of see him light it up, even, without fans. But these guys are going to be pumped just to be back in Heinz Field.
Awesome. Jenna, thanks so much for coming on the show. This has been a lot of fun, a lot of great stuff. We'll be happy to have you back on the show moving forward. Let people know where they can follow more of you, see more of you, and catch all the great things that you're working on.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. This is so fun. Would definitely love to do it again. Always a pleasure to work with you when you come on all of our stuff at WPXI. So you can catch us on WPXI Channel 11 here in Pittsburgh at 6, 10, and 11. You can follow me on Twitter at JennaHarner11 and Instagram. I believe it's at Jenna_Harner. I'll have to double check on that. But that's if you just search Jenna Harner, you'll find it. So.
Awesome. Jenna, thanks for coming on the show. You guys can follow me at Carter Critiques on Twitter. If you follow me, I will follow you back. Thanks to all those who've been supporting the show. If you're not subscribed, what you're doing, get on there. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. That's where we're at. If you're loving the show, please leave a 5-star review as well as a positive comment. Doing so will get you a shout out on the show. Thanks to all those who have done that. We're moving up the rankings, y'all. We were 65th in football podcast on Apple Podcast this week. So that was great stuff there. Thanks again for listening to the show. We'll catch you after the game here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.